Okay, welcome back to Laugh or Go Crazy. It's 2014, and after a restful holiday season, well, I don't know how restful, but after some time off, Michelle, we are back, and let me tell you, I've missed you, I've missed the audience, and I'm just glad to be past the holidays so that we can concentrate on our show. So I want to welcome everyone back to our first podcast of 2014. How are you, Michelle?
I'm fine, thanks. I am very happy to be here tonight, actually. I've missed everyone, and you most definitely. And I don't know, there's just so much to catch up on that I'm excited to get started.
You know, it never gets old looking at you and your robe and your glasses. Never.
See, I can't see you, so I forget that you can see me. I may have to block you now.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. But we do want to get into it because we do have had some technical issues, and so we have quite a lineup that has backed up, actually. Yeah. So we do want to hit a few points, but I just want to congratulate you, by the way. I mean, you have, you know, I got to tell this quick story. You know, Michelle is never usually the first one to dive into something without like really thinking about it. And usually that's my job. So I get a text the other night from Michelle, and she says, you know, I really feel like writing. You know, I think we should blog. I really do, you know, I really think we should do it. And I said, yeah, you know, we really should, you know, kind of one of those. And she says, well, I'm starting to write. And I'm like, you go, girl. You know, you start to write. She says, I'm already working on my rough draft. It'll be ready by tomorrow. And so, you know, so many times we both have these great ideas, you know, and sometimes we just don't follow through. But let me tell you, you were on fire. And so you text me saying, okay, I need you to proofread it because it's going up. And let me tell you, I was really proud of you. And I thought the piece that you wrote was pretty cool about the Dunkin' Donuts. You want to just quickly explain that? Because I thought it was a cool story.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say, I know this sounds ridiculous, and if you're listening out there, once I say this, you're probably going to go, oh my goodness, another one of, you know, those. But Steve, I swear, since I turned 40,
right,
I'm like a different person. I in a good way, like, I have always been so, like, hesitant to write. I always want everything to be perfect, and it's just not natural to me. Like, I just don't sit and write and let everything come out. I analyze, and it's ridiculous.
Right, right.
And honestly, I'm at the point now where...
You don't care.
It's not that I don't care, because that's not true, but I am not going to hold back and stop myself from doing something I want to do because I feel like it has to be perfect for who? You know, like, it just doesn't even make sense.
Right.
Right. So,
well, you know what I think it is, Michelle? You feel like you, I think up until now, because remember, I'm a couple of years older, because, you know, so I could almost say I'm older and wiser. But, right. But I'm just saying, though, I went through this a few years ago, and I think you're just catching up now. You don't give, you know, you don't really care if you're being judged. You know, like at a certain point, like there's.
You're right.
You know,
I really don't.
You don't care if you're being judged. And I think that comes with age, you know, and people who are listening out there who are older than us, you know, in our early 40s, know that already. And they're like, well, I knew that 5 years ago, you know. And, you know, I think that's the beauty of age, is because you're feeling more comfortable in your own skin and you're putting yourself out there, the good, the bad, the imperfect. And you just want to get your thoughts across. So,
right. And you know what? I don't know. I know I've told you this, but my mother always said your 40s are like the best 10 years because you're still young enough, but you're old enough. So like you're right. You're at that right. That not that any age isn't great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, but I do feel like I'm now old enough that I'm secure. Like I have enough self-confidence.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just more of a risk taker now, I guess. But anyway.
And you know, it's interesting. I've known you a long time and we've been doing this show. I keep saying we're coming up on 5 years, by the way. I just want you to know April will be 5 years.
Wow.
Because we started in 2009 and it's 2014. Right. I don't know if you know the year, you know. I mean, we're getting older here.
I know.
But anyway, we've been doing, you know, we're, you know, if a lot of people are first time listeners, only been with us a couple of months. We've been on this show for 5 years. Where have you been, everybody? I mean, you know, you're late.
No, but don't you love, like, the best part of all of this is, you know, even though we took some time off just recently, of course, the holidays, you know, put a little bit of a pause on our work. But we did have technical problems for a while, and Steve, you know, had some work done at his house to get the internet going right. So we do appreciate that, Steve, because if you didn't fix that, we wouldn't be here tonight. But what was I going to say? It's so nice to get emails from people who just started listening, and they're like, I'm a little confused because what happened?
Steve's leaving? I mean, is he moving? Are you guys friends anymore? I don't know.
Are you still? Well, and so it takes a while, I guess, to listen to everything, to get all of the background.
You know what it is?
And not everything is up, you know?
Not everything is up. But, you know, to be honest, if you just click on our latest story, which was, I don't know, whatever it was, New York Minute, you're getting bits and pieces of what has transpired, you know, in just side conversation. So I almost recommend just go to the oldest date and work up.
Right.
You know, but anyway.
So my Dunkin' Donuts story.
Yeah. So talk about that.
I was with my youngest son and we were on our way to my parents' house. I was helping my mom prepare for Christmas Eve dinner. And, you know, you told your story about when you went to Dunkin' Donuts and you paid for the car behind you and how it was, like, nervous. You know, you got a nervous feeling. It also felt really great. And it just, you know, it's just something that makes people feel good all around. And I have been wanting to do this for months and months, and I never did. So something told me, just like with the blog, Steve, honestly, I remember I walked into the bathroom in my bedroom and it popped into my head. Like, in other words, you're going to write and you're going to put it on the blog. Let's get this thing going. And that's when you got my text. Like, it just came to me.
Yeah.
So as I was driving to my parents' house, I had called them earlier and asked if they wanted coffee. They said yes. So I planned on stopping in their town to get coffee because it just makes sense. You know, the coffee will be hotter when I get there. And something told me, turn into this Dunkin' Donuts,
right,
the one that I always go to that's in my town. So I said, what do we have microwaves for, right? To heat the coffee up. So I turned in my Dunkin' Donuts. There was a long line. You know, it seems around the holidays, everyone likes their fancy coffee. I don't know. I find everything is just more congested. So the line was long. And, you know, we're waiting, we're patient. We place our order, and I'm just about ready to pull up to the window when this lady on foot walks in front of my car, and she just, like, kind of waves
and kind of cuts you, right,
a little bit? Points to the coffee and just is like, they made it wrong, and, oh, no, go ahead, you know, take your time. Now, I do realize that you do have to be mindful of all the people behind you when you let someone go in front of you. However, I wasn't thinking of that. I was just thinking she was just going to quickly go to the count, you know, to the window and walk away. I also realized that she could have also gone into the Dunkin' Donuts and fixed her coffee inside. You know what I mean? So I see all the different ways of looking at this situation. However, I let her go. And it took a few minutes because I guess they had to make the coffee over. So maybe 2-3 minutes. Well, within 30 seconds, the man behind me starts screaming. And he is carrying on and on and on, yelling at her. He's yelling. I don't even know if he's yelling at me or her. Like, right. I don't know who he's angry at this point. And I'm starting to, like, get a little bit nervous because he's not stopping. Like, he's just continuing to yell. I wasn't sure if he was going to get out of the car. I was really shocked, honestly. And I was surprised. My son in the back was kind of quiet. And then it hit me. It, like, all of a sudden, this is it. This is the time you have to pay for him. You have to pay it. Now's the time to, like, do that nice gesture and just try to, like, calm him down.
Right.
And, you know, I'll drive away. And it's over. But I was hopeful that for him, he would just stop for a second and be like, oh, maybe I overreacted. Maybe I just should calm down. You know, that kind of thing. I didn't do it to be, like,
spiteful. Like, you didn't do it
to,
like,
put one up on, like, I, my intentions were good when I did it. They were pure. I don't know how he took it, Does that make sense?
No, okay, so wait. You told the drive-through person.
Yeah.
Say that again. You told the drive-through person what?
I didn't tell you that.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just rummaging through my wallet because I don't even know if I have enough money to pay for him. I don't even know how much his order is. I didn't have that much cash on me. So I looked at her and I said, how much is the man's order behind me? So she was like $5.34. So I said, okay. I said, I would like to pay for him. And I can, she could hear him too. So right. I could see that she wasn't looking forward to him pulling up. And she looked at me. She was like, I said, yes, please. I want to pay for his order. Please tell him happy holidays and right. to please smile.
Oh my God.
And she looked at me. She's like, okay.
Now, was she was like very uncomfortable probably, right?
Yes, she was yeah. like, and she looked confused. Like, why would you pay for his coffee? You know, like almost right. like.
Isn't it so funny when you do these random acts of kindness? People are just don't know what to do with it.
Especially when someone's hostile, right. you know? And I didn't do it to like, I did it. Not to like to put one up on him. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
no, you had good intentions. You've been wanting to do this for a while, though, to be honest.
Say it again?
You've been wanting to do this for a while.
Yeah, but you know what? The time wasn't right. Like, this yeah. was a fleeting, this was a good,
right.
like a feeling that came over me that said, this is the time.
Right.
So that was fine. So I pull away. And now I'm just hoping I get out of the darn parking lot before he does.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't want to be near him.
Michelle, that's what I did when I did the Dunkin' Donuts. I wanted to get out before. I didn't want any confrontation.
Right.
Like, I didn't want, why did you buy me coffee? I mean, you know, I just wanted to go.
And who knows? He could have pulled up next to me and been like, I don't want your coffee. You know what I mean? Like, right. who knows? Oh, he was very God. Upset. So when we pull away, my son says, Mom. Why did you pay for that mean man's coffee?
The mean man's. I love that in your blog.
That's because that's, you know, he's eight. He right. just turned eight. So he's, you know, he's young. And I said, you know, something. Sometimes someone gets upset over something very small, like a cup of coffee. I said, but maybe something else is bothering him. And maybe he just needs someone to be nice to him. So two wrongs don't make a right, I said. Right. And I decided that I wanted to do something nice for him, even though he was very upset. And he said, well, maybe you should have told him he should have a little more patience.
Right, right, right.
And I said, well, maybe. I said, but I hope that this made his day a little bit better. And that was it.
And that was it.
But
it's yeah. really a good story. And I love the way you wrote it. It was very... You have very good voice. I made that comment on there. You know, I love people with voice when they write because it sounds like you when you write.
Well, you know what's funny? Teaching the little first graders, you know, about reading and stuff. Today the lesson was, you know, reading like a robot and very like robotic, where you're monotone and you're just reading each word, or reading like you talk. And I feel the same way about writing. We should try to write the way we talk, but it's not so easy for everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. Writing was never something I had confidence in, so I really shied away from it, but not anymore. How do you like that?
I love it. I love the new you.
You love it?
Well,
And I loved reading yours. Like, that's a whole podcast in and of itself, because I made so many connections to your entry. And I didn't respond to it. And I don't know if tonight is the night we'll talk about it, or maybe I'll just, you know, respond on the blog because I had some questions for you. I had some connections I could make. And
right.
It was a great story.
Well, my little story on our blog was came from a quote from Twitter. I'll just, you know, kind of set it up a bit, because it really was something I was wrestling with all week. You know, I hear these great inspirational lines and I really think about them, you know, I kind of meditate on them and I really think about them. And so I was going through some Twitter people I follow, and it was just a very simple tweet. When was the last time you had a first time? And I was like reading it at first. I'm like, I don't even get it. What is this guy talking about? And then I'm like, oh, I get it. When was the last time you had a first time? Like, we really should be thinking day to day about if we're getting stuck in our sort of routines and our ruts, and if we're not being, if we're not living life to the fullest, basically. And we're, you know, if we're kind of repeating patterns, or are we really trying new things? So I kind of wrote a little thing about how in our spiritual journey, there's always two of us, you know. There's the physical, you know, us, which obviously we're humans, and, you know, we are living day to day. We have to get a job. We, you know, we have to pay the bills, and, you know, we're living a physical life. And then within this physical world of every day, we have this other side of us, which some people recognize and connect to more than other people. Some people never connect to it at all, but we really do. We do have a spirit side, and that is, you can call it spirituality, you can call it a spirit, you can call it the invisible, whatever you want to call it. And I was making a connection with this, when was the last time you had a first time, because I feel as though when you're doing new things in your life, in the physical world, right, when you're trying new things and when you're venturing out and you're not afraid of just doing it for the first time, if you're not afraid of what people are thinking or if they're going to judge you, you don't get held back by your fears and you try new things. I feel like you're closest to God at that point. I feel like you're closest to your spirit side, your other side. And I really do think that when you do that, you are living your best life. And so I kind of talked about that in the blog. And I really feel like, you know, with myself, you know, I was out with a bunch of, you know, I go on to talk about how I was out with a bunch of people for New Year's. And I kind of brought up this quote to everybody. And, you know, it's funny, out of 10 people, you know, some people took it like, you know, literally like, well, you know, I tried a new phone app, you know, and that was fun. Okay. Or, you know,
right.
You know, it was so simplistic, like, oh, well, wait a minute. I got my coffee at a different place today. I guess that's something new. And
but I love how they all interpret it differently.
They all interpret it differently. And then some people were actually got it. They were like, well, yeah, you know, I really feel like this year I am a better version of myself. You know, I got those answers. You know, because last year, you know, I was in a relationship that it wasn't good for me. I had to move into a different place because the energy wasn't great. You know, I got those types of answers. And right, I feel like I'm
really a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it was really amazing, Michelle. And I kind of fall right in the middle, to be honest. And but then as I'm listening to all these, you know, I go on at the end of the story, at the end of my blog, I kind of sit back and I think about, I have a conversation with myself as I'm listening, you know, I'm half listening, I guess, or I guess the conversation just ended and I was evaluating my life in 2013. And to be honest, Michelle, I didn't realize all of the changes and all of the new things I've tried this year and the courage that I've had to do it. And it doesn't have to, you know, obviously I've changed jobs, I've changed where I've lived, I've done so many new things. I've taken up new hobbies. I've tried to do better eating regimens, you know, whatever, whatever. And I kind of sit back and I kind of say, you know, good for you. You know, like I'm proud of you that you've lived, you know, maybe not the whole year, but you've lived most of the year unafraid of trying new things. And not only that, but I wake up in the morning with a conscious effort to, all right, I got to participate in this physical world. You know, I got to get up and, you know, get to work and walk the dog and you got to get the kids ready. And there's a routine and there's a mundane and there's all that. But within that, we want to try to find things that make us smile and not always do the, you know, I don't want to hear I'm too old for anything new. You know, I've lived my life. You know, I don't want to, you know, I know what I know and that's it. You know, I know some very young people in their early 30s that think that, all right, I'm married. I could let the weight go. I really don't need to try anything else. You know, okay. We're just going to let this coast for like 40 years until I die.
Right. And that doesn't really work.
And you know what? Let me tell you, there's going to be a day of reckoning when this person wakes up. And it could be in 5 years, 10 years, and they're going to say, "God, this is not fulfilling at all."
Right. I feel like the earlier you realize all of this, the younger I should say, the better quality of life you'll have for longer. Does that make sense? Like,
totally.
You know, we can't wait until we're much older to start nourishing our soul and meeting our needs and trying things for the first time and, you know, losing some of our fear and anxiety. And the sooner we start doing that, the longer we will have a quality of life.
But Michelle, what are we all afraid of?
I don't know. See, this is what I've said this many times over this last 2 week break, because you're with a lot of family and friends, you know, just the holiday season. And I know it sounds a little morbid and I don't mean it that way, but
we're all going to die.
All, yeah, I know. You're gonna let
I love when you say this. It puts it all in perspective for me.
We are all going to die. That's what is going to happen. That is a 100% fact.
Right. There's no escaping that. Forever. That's the path.
So what the heck are we doing worrying about all of this minutia, all of this garbage? You know, it's just not worth it.
Well, it's almost as if we're worried about the temporary things to the point where we don't do the things that might last an eternity. Like, for instance, we're building. Listen, let me tell everybody. Okay. The soul we have, this is what I believe. Okay, we all have souls. Whether you believe in reincarnation, whether you believe in a soul is eternity and we're here for a temporary thing, what we do with our soul in this physical world, we're taking with us.
Right.
So let's spend a little time paying attention to it.
Well,
and let's build it, and let's nourish it, and let's improve it.
See, your blog entry, I read the whole thing, and I probably need to read it 2 or 3 more times. I read it through twice because there's so much great stuff in there that I really have to like sit and read sentence for sentence and take it all in. But what I got out of it was, for me personally, like the first read, was we have our soul, okay? And the soul you nourish through meditation,
mm-hmm.
peace, gardening,
love,
that quiet time. It's the soul to nourish and feed the soul, in my opinion, many times requires alone time because you just kind of have to let it rest.
Michelle,
I don't know. That's for me.
You were so right.
And then you were talking about like the physical being. And when you say the physical being, I feel like to me, that means your body, and you nourish the physical side of you, or that part, by exercising, eating well, you know, taking good care of your skin, all that good stuff. You know, you of course want to nourish your physical side too. Many of us worry about our physical being our whole life and ignore our soul. And most people who do that find that their life isn't quite as fulfilling.
Right. But let me just interrupt for a second. I also, which I probably didn't really convey too clearly in the blog, the physical life that we all have, not only is what you just said, you know, what we look like and all that, but it's also participating in the social norms and society's expectations and what people think of me. Will they like me? Am I loved enough? Those types of thoughts is also part of the physical world that we live in. You know,
right.
The insecurities, I have to perform at my job.
We're forced to live a certain lifestyle because we have to.
And that's all. Listen, Michelle, we all want to be good workers. We all want to be active members in the society. We're not saying that we don't want those things. We want to really do our best. But that's only 50% of what we're here for.
Right. And you know, it's funny because when I read that, your blog, entry, I didn't take it in like that. I took it as a very personal, individual thing, like my soul and my physical being. I was very individual, after speaking to you, I understood what you meant. However, when I read it through that first time, for me, I guess that's what I got out of it for the first time.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but I totally understand what you're saying 100%. But I think that if we can learn to balance this physical world and our physical being, all of that stuff, and our soul, I think that your purpose for your soul comes through in your physical being once you've learned how to nourish it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I think you can really fulfill a lot of things for yourself once you realize what it is, you know, your purpose is.
And also, you know, and I mentioned in the blog that you really need to start living. You have to recognize whether you're living with your head or with your heart. And there should be a balance between the two.
And now, can you give me an example of that?
Okay.
Because you said you lived much of your life with your head, and you started living it with your heart.
Okay.
Is there, like, an example you
Absolutely.
Can give?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I feel that when you live with your head, when you're living your life through your head, you think about things, you overthink about things before you act. You have an impulse from your heart, but then your head analyzes it up, down, backwards, forwards,
okay.
In your sleep. You talk about it. You ask people, what do you think? Do you think this would be good? You know, we have some friends that do this.
Yes.
What do you think?
And you know,
do you think I should do
that?
Yeah.
Well.
Do you think I should do this? Well, you know what? You had the impulse to do it. Why don't you just do it?
Just do it, right. Why ask?
And so living through the head is, you know, we have a wonderful brain, Michelle, you know, and it's here to get things done and to prioritize, but it's not the sole decision making thing that we should be using. It should be used as a tool to carry out our heart.
Right.
Like, for instance, there are some people that get into to relationships because in their head they want to be taken care of. They want money. They want a good-looking guy or a good-looking girl. They want, you know, kids, and they want X, Y, Z. So they go with this particular person who fulfills that. But their heart might not be there. Their heart might be saying, you know, I really like this other person. But, you know, this other person might not give me the house and the boat and the car. And I know some people like this. And when you live your life solely through your head and you're making decisions based on intellectual thoughts and kind of, you know, we hate politicians that do this, you know, they kind of take a poll before they do anything.
Right. No, I 100% understand.
And, you know, how about living through your heart? How about telling us what you really believe and what you really feel and your heart? You know, we love people that show their heart. And so to contrast that for me versus the heart, the head, you know, I've left a building that I used to work with you in because my heart said I needed to move on because I really needed to, as I wasn't feeling it, I needed to try a new adventure. You know, it was sort of this nagging. It wasn't an intellectual thing. It was a heart thing. Because intellectually...
Your heart has been telling you this for years.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, it was the year where you were able to see it through.
It was
so
the year I was able to see it.
So this is something that you really have been wanting to do. So you have procrastinated for like maybe 4 years.
True.
And it clearly it wasn't the right time. So I don't really think that... You know, everything happens for a reason. So sometimes I think in life, maybe you do use your head a little more than your heart, but maybe that was the road that you were supposed to take. Does that, you know, because this was the perfect time for you to go.
Right.
When you look back, like looking back, you know, we wouldn't have had our friendship really if you left too soon. Like a lot of things developed before you left.
No, right. In that particular example, my heart was telling me that I needed a change, but the timing wasn't right. But eventually I listened to my heart.
Yeah, and then the timing was right.
And the timing was right. But some people never pull the trigger, Michelle.
No.
They'll stay in an area. They'll stay in a house. They'll stay in a neighborhood, or they'll stay in a job that is counter to their heart. It's not what they want to do. And I understand this economy. You know, you gotta take what you have to take. But there's got to be a point where you start to act on the things that you love, the dreams that you want to do. You have to live the life that you were intended to live. You know, it's funny. I'm using a notebook. Thoreau is on the cover. You know, is one of the Wayne Dyer quotes. And Thoreau wrote this this quote, and it's so appropriately. It's apropos. Go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you've always imagined. If that is not a statement from the head,
yeah,
that is a statement from the heart.
You know,
and that's what this blog was about. It was about A, recognizing that we're two, no, we're not one. We're the physical and we're the spirit. Two, when you do new things, when you ask yourself the simple statement of when's the last time you had a first time, and you start to act on things that you've never done before, okay, and try new things, I feel that you are listening more to your heart and you're closer to God or to spirit. And that's my take. I mean, you may disagree, but that's kind of what my blog was about.
Yeah. You know, and just to bring up, we also have a listener named Valerie who...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she shared her blog with us, and it was the first time she shared her blog with anyone but her family or friends. And it is truly amazing, the stories that she wrote. And, you know, what you just said made me think of her and one of her stories. Just about, you know, having confidence and living a life that's true to you and following your dreams. And how many people, there are a lot of people who follow someone else's dreams and who live someone else's life because it makes them happy. And that's what they get used to. And they don't even really know how to live their own life. You know, when the time comes that you have the opportunity to live your own life, whether it is, you know, a spouse or a loved one passes or something happens in that relationship and now you're ready to live your own life, you almost don't know how to do it because you know, all of the years that you've lived, you've been following someone else's dream. And for a lot of people, that's very comfortable, you know, that they're not comfortable taking risks and being adventurous. And she wrote, one of her entries was about this something similar, but she has an excellent blog as well. And I think, Steve, that her blog address is on our blog because she liked it and she put it there. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, first of all, yeah, our blog is laughagocrazyshow.wordpress.com. So you can find us there. laughagocrazyshow.wordpress.com. And if you're interested in reading some of the things we have up there, that's it. And it's also on, there's a link on our Facebook. But Valerie did respond, and she did put her blog address down for other people to read. And she's very talented, by the way. I read some of her stories.
And, yeah, they're fantastic.
They really are.
You know, a lot of what we talk about, very similar stories. She wrote about just people that she has met and stories about her interactions with other people, and they're really fantastic and well written. So I'm grateful. We're both so grateful when you call in, or not really call in, although we will have an episode coming up with a caller who did something fantastic with her 50th birthday, but we'll leave that for another time. But we really do appreciate when you share with us because it doesn't go unnoticed. I mean, we really, you know, we're really interested. We read everything.
You know, speaking of reading everything, remember Wendy? She had sent us a little message on Facebook. Do you remember Wendy?
I do. She read the blue. She was the one. Okay, you have to tell the story about Wendy. That was fantastic.
Well, yeah, it's amazing. You know, first of all, that blue marble story has got to be 4 years old. And
I have to interrupt you because maybe she would even let us post the picture.
Oh, yeah. Well, she...
Of the scarf. You have to tell the story. Can you tell the story now?
So anyway, let me just give everyone a little background. So on our website, laughagocrazy.podbean.com, you could find a story called the blue marble story. Okay, it's up on iTunes. You just got to look for it. And it's a very short recording. It's probably only 20 minutes. And anyway, so if you've listened to it, or if you will listen to it, I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis. I had read the book, The Secret. And it was one of the first spiritual books I read. And maybe it was 5 years ago, whatever. And I was laying by the pool at my condo, and I was reading The Secret. And I was going through a lot of medical issues back then. You know, I had... atrial fibrillation, which is sort of a rapid heartbeat back then. And I was sort of like I had anxiety and, I was a little bit of a mess, to be honest with you. And so I read this book by recommendation. And so I'm by the pool. It's the first day of summer vacation. I'm trying to relax. You know what I mean? And so I'm taking this book And I'm like, what is this dopey book about? You know, The Secret. So I said, all right, I'll try it. You know, I'll try anything just to, you know, see if visualization and asking the universe for what you desire really works. You know, it was basically what this book was about. And so I was reading, and there was a part of the book that said, look, you need to do a test in order for you to really believe that this book, The Secret, and manifesting what you dream in your life, you know, if it's true or not. So they said, pick an object that you could visualize in your head, and pick something that's very random that you wouldn't see ordinarily, and see if you can manifest it in a certain amount of time. You know, you have to give it a time limit. So I picked, I don't even know, I was on the lounge chair, and I was like, what am I going to pick? I have no idea. And all of a sudden, a marble. I said, oh, what about a marble? I haven't seen a marble since I was a kid. I'm like, all right, a marble. And I says, you know, it can't just be any marble. It has to be really a baby blue marble. And, you know, it has to have white swirls in it. And I said, all right, I think I've seen that, baby blue marbles with white swirls. Let me, what else can I? And then I said, well, what about a golf ball size baby blue marble with white swirls? I mean, you know, when's the last time you've seen those? So I kind of said, all right, that's going to be it. Okay, I want to manifest into my life in the next 3 days a oversized marble, golf size, golf ball size, baby blue with white swirls. So I said, okay, it's Friday, by Monday, if I don't have it, this book is nonsense. So I was going away on vacation that week, and I was going upstate, actually to Newport, and I was going away with some friends, and, you know, Saturday came, and, you know, I wasn't really looking, because they, you know, I wasn't actively looking, but I was kind of like looking, you know what I mean, you know, hoping, looking on the floor, and I was getting a little depressed, because by Sunday, we're driving home, okay, after like hoping and wishing, and I'm telling everyone about it, that I've manifest, I'm trying this manifestation and this visualization. Everyone's like, I don't know what you're doing. What are you reading this dopey book for? And I'm like, no. I really think that I'm going to see a very big marble with white swirls. And so we're driving home. I don't know if you remember this, Michelle. I'm driving home, and one of the people in the back seat, you know, we're trying to get to a ferry to get back to Long Island. And, you know, we have a little time to kill. So someone says, oh, let's go to Mystic, you know, Mystic, Connecticut. You know, they're supposed to have great pizza. Let's kind of make a detour. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to drive to Mystic. So I'm annoyed. I don't want to drive. I'm annoyed. So I pull off, and I'm like, oh, all right. It's better than sitting at the ferry line, right? So I drop everyone off, and I park the car, and I just walk, and I meet everybody. And I guess, you know, they're poking around the stores and whatnot. And, you know, 45 minutes until the ferry. And I get a slice of pizza, and I walk into the store, and I see everybody there. And I'm like, oh, can we go? And I see a jar of marbles. And I'm like, oh, to my head, you know, someone said, oh, look, Steve Marble, see, oh, you manifested it. You know, they're kind of joking around. And I'm like, no, that's not, it's a jar of marbles, and none of them are blue. They're all little marbles. I mean, you know, come on, guys. This is not, you know, this is not anything groundbreaking. And so I'm like, oh, all right, well, whatever. And so everyone leaves, and the cashier sees me really obsessing about the marbles. You know, she sees me looking through them. You know, when my friends left, I'm kind of looking through the jar a little bit more. I'm hopefully finding like a light blue one with white swirls, but they're all small. And so the woman's like, sir, can I help you? And I'm like, no, I'm just looking through the marble jars. You know, I'm just looking through. And she's like, well, you know, those are really small. If you want a large one, we have one up on the shelf here. And I'm like, and all of a sudden, Michelle, I have this chill that runs up my spine. In fact, I have a chill right now. And I look, and she says, you know, I don't know, it's a little girly, but it's a baby blue one with white swirls. I don't know, is that something you're looking for? And I'm like, are you kidding me? And everything from then on, even to this day, a shift happened inside of me, and I really knew there was something else. There was a bigger order in life. There was like, I'm not alone. There is a universe. There is a power. There's God.
But I felt like someone's listening to me.
Someone is listening to me. Exactly, for this dopey little story and this dopey little thing. So she says, do you want it? I'm like, you're damn right I want it. Give me that marble. So I actually have a picture of it. I think it's on Instagram. I don't remember. But I have it on a shelf in my house. And it represents to me all that's possible. And that I can manifest anything in my life that I want. And in fact, I have countless stories of things that I've manifested in my life, Michelle, that I vocally said out loud, I want to be that, I want to do that, I want to be like him. And all of a sudden, it's happened. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen.
Right.
And so I bought the marble and I went home and I told like everybody. And I recorded this story like 5 years ago. So anyway, let me get back to Wendy. I mean, everyone's falling asleep. I don't know.
Well, no, but you know, they don't even have to listen to the story now because you really did a great retell.
Oh, maybe I did do good.
The whole story again just now.
Oh, okay. So, right, because you haven't heard this story. You haven't heard that story in years. So anyway, that's the Blue Marble story. Now, we get an email through Facebook. We get an instant message from Wendy, who is a listener, and she's on Facebook and whatever. And she says that, look, I have to tell you this story. I had just listened to your Blue Marble story, okay? And I was telling everyone, my family, my friends, about you and Michelle. And, I don't know if they were overly interested in us. But she was saying about how Steve, you know, manifested this Blue Marble in his life. And they're like, whatever. You know, they were very skeptical. Well, okay, so Wendy and her family go down to Florida, and they're eating in a restaurant. And so Wendy, you know, kind of slams the table, and she says, all right, I'm declaring, okay, I'm picking something, and I'm going to say it out loud for the universe to hear. And everyone at this table will either know that this is nonsense or if it's real. And she says, I am declaring that I'm going to see in my 3 days of my 2-day trip to Universal Studios, I manifest into my life, not a blue marble, but I want to manifest into my life a coral scarf with white polka dots. I mean, a coral scarf. She picked the most random thing that she could, and she picked the hard thing. I mean, this is even harder than the marble, Michelle. A coral. I don't even know what color coral is. It's like an orange color.
Yeah, it's like a pinky, peachy coral. Yeah.
So she said, all right, I want to manifest a coral scarf with white polka dots, and I'm only giving it 2 days. And if I cannot manifest that into my life in the next 2 days, in Florida, by the way, which is hot, who the heck's going to be wearing?
I'm looking at the picture right now. I still can't get over
it. Who is going to be wearing a scarf? So anyway, well, you kind of gave it away. She was, they were getting tired of her rambling on about the law of attraction and how beautiful, you know, manifestation can be and yada, yada, yada. And she says, you'll see, I will manifest that into my life in Universal Studios. Well, on the second day, they're all walking together, Wendy and her family, and guess who goes strolling by in a coral scarf with white polka dots? A stranger, a woman who's wearing it not only around her neck, she's wearing it around her head, and she has sunglasses, and it's a coral scarf with white polka dots, Michelle. And her family, who were skeptics, stopped in their tracks with their mouths wide open and were like, are you kidding me? And Wendy's like, see, I told you.
I love that story. That is really great. I'm so glad she shared that with us.
And she shared it with me. And you know what? To be honest with you, we invited her on the show tonight. But she had a prior engagement, and she allowed me to tell the story. And I will post this picture of the polka dots and the coral scarf on Facebook for everyone to see. And so, I mean, I know it's true, Michelle. I know.
I think that should be the title of the recording. I know we usually do this, like, you know, off after the show, but I think we have to think about a good title about that coral scarf.
Right.
I do. I really think it's title worthy.
All right. Now, so do you? I'm going to. I'm going to post it, and I think we'll do it.
Yeah, I think so. With the picture. Because I can't wait for everyone to see the picture of that scarf. Just like your marble, the picture that you posted is such a beautiful picture and clearly shows the blue with the white.
I love it.
I know. That's so great.
So anyway, so, you know, we kind of have to wrap up, but I just feel that for the first time in a very long time, I feel so connected to something other than my physical side. And I hope that, you know, when people play our podcasts and they read our blogs and they visit our websites or whatever, we just help them remind them what they already know, what they really already know. And we just become just a little bit of a check-in, a tune-up, a little just a reminder that we all have it with us. We have this side of us that is like the most powerful thing, and we ignore it, you know, not intentionally, but we get so wrapped up in the I have to's and the physical side of us, and we often forget about the other side. So that was sort of what the message was tonight.
And you know, we didn't really speak of this, and I know we are going to finish up now, but maybe another time. You know, we briefly talked about how the holidays, unfortunately, have become such a hustle and bustle that we really lose sight of what it's, you know, what we should be doing during this time, you know, because we're so busy. So we could talk about our holiday experiences another time, but it's just, I don't know. I think that soothing your soul, I'm really trying to do more like quiet time, meditating, and just going down that road. And when you do that, I think everything kind of falls into place, or at least it seems to be much calmer.
Right.
So, yeah, that's great. But I just want to reiterate how wonderful it is when you do share your stories with us, because we really enjoy them. We learn a lot. And we're able to share them. So not only do we have stories, but you have stories too. So please feel free to share them with us.
Absolutely. And we want to hear from you. You know, send us an email, like us on Facebook, and check out our blog, you know. And that's it. So what do you think, Michelle? 2014, what is your instinct? What does it say?
You know, 2013 was a wonderful year. And I did not make any New Year's resolutions. That was my resolution, not to make a resolution, because I just feel like it's a fresh new year. And that's how I feel. I'm going into, it's like I'm starting a new book. So here's my 2014 book, and I just started it 6 days ago. And so far, so good. I feel connected. I'm going to try to stay, you know, on the path that I want to be on. And if I veer off, I want to quickly get back on. And I just feel like, you know, it is what you make it. And right. Even if you have some rough times, or you had rough times in 2013, and maybe you'll have some in 2014, we are always in control of ourselves. Not that we won't feel hurt or sadness or pain. We, you know, we are in control. Heart, soul, physical, not physical.
Right.
So we just have to remember that.
Absolutely. That's good advice.
Yeah. So it's great to be back. I miss you terribly. And I missed everyone else.
Yes.
Out there, even though we are not talking to you, it still feels like we're connected in some way. I know that sounds...
You know, eventually we're going to evolve where we can just talk to everybody. You know, we got to do... You know, we're doing baby steps. We got the blog now. We got this. But eventually, we're going to have to do a live show.
Yes, that would be really great.
We're
going
to have to do a live show where people could tune in at a certain time and they could actually call in and talk, you know, rather than the pre-recorded thing. But this is what we do for now. This is, you know, 2014. All right, listen, everybody, thank you for listening, and we hope you are living your best life, and we will see you soon.
Sounds good. See you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.